This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Welcome in to yet another edition of the podcast we actually like doing. Which is the one where
it's
we don't
the podcast.
Have, where we get to be a podcast, not a radio show. We're glad you're with us. And as we talked about last week, if you missed last week's episode, go back and listen to that. Wherever you get podcasts, wherever you found this one, just search Bone Beam United. But we are no longer on the radio on Saturday mornings or Saturday evenings, rather. So now we can just kind of be a little loosey-goosey and free and fun.
I love being loosey-goosey.
Yeah, this is the time of year we really like to get into that. So plenty to get into today. We will obviously talk about some Premier League stuff. We will talk about the Columbus Crew. We will talk about Beam's House of Sickness, where everybody is ill right now.
Yeah, it's just, you know, it's pretty wild. So Meredith was back in Dayton this past weekend and visiting family, and it was her mom's birthday, and, you know, my brother-in-law and my sister-in-law, like, they've got two kids, and one is 3 and one is a year and a half. Mm. And Willie's the youngest of the bunch.
What you're saying is those are germ factories, right? There.
Yeah. And they just started daycare.
Oh, yeah.
So yep. Then Willie went there, and then he got a little sick, and now I'm a little bit congested, but whatever. I feel fine. Like, mm-hmm. it's no big deal.
No, that's it. And by the way, daycare, if you do not have kids and you are planning on having them, or you have little ones that will eventually go to daycare, or whenever they go to school.
Yeah.
Just be aware that first month, you're going to get strains of colds. And I know with COVID, everyone's like, oh, is it COVID? It might be. But I'm saying, my oldest is 13. Mm-hmm. This was well before COVID. Our first two, when they went to school, it was like, oh, look, I've got a cold that I've never felt before in my life. And I don't know how or why
my
I feel
right
this way.
Ear feels like it's
yeah.
on fire.
You're like, why is my toe hurt? And I'm coughing yeah. and I have, like, I don't know, green mucus as opposed to usual yellow. I don't know what's going on.
Why is it orange?
Yeah, right. You get all the colors there. It's gross. I'm sorry that you're dealing with that.
It's okay. It's no big deal. It's part of, you know, I guess having a kid.
But the joy of parenting.
I will say this, like, I'm not a very compassionate person. Maybe I am. I don't know.
I mean, you strike me as being compassionate, but maybe that's just a front.
Maybe underneath you're just cold
and dead.
Yeah.
And you don't care about anything or anyone.
Like, I don't, like, if someone says they're sick, I'm like, oh man, that sucks. But it doesn't ruin my day. Like, I'm like, I hope that person feels better.
Maybe you're not an empath. Like, you might just say, oh, that sucks for you. Anyway, on with my day.
That's,
you're not like,
yes.
You don't feel it for them. Like, God, it's too bad for that guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, I guess maybe that's me. And Meredith, like, even less than I am.
Which is a good thing she's a school teacher.
Yes.
That's you need to have a little bit of a tough skin for that stuff.
Like,
I
she
agree.
Didn't cry during Good Will Hunting. And I'm like, everybody cries during Good Will Hunting, but she didn't.
Right.
So,
sure.
You know, I wouldn't put that in that, but I felt so bad the other day because we went to the doctor. He had his 6-month appointment, 6-month checkup, and, you know, he got get some shots and get some vaccines and whatever. And, you know, usually this is the first time that I've been there with just by myself. Like, Meredith wasn't there because she's back at work now, and he gets the shots, and I don't really feel too bad for him. Like, he cries for about, you know, 19 seconds, and then he's on to the next thing and he's over it. But he was sick. Like, I could tell, like, he was coughing. He had maybe, like, a pretty, like, low-grade fever, like 99, 100 on the speed gun. And I'm just, like, I was sitting there, and it was for the first time in my, really, I think my adult existence where I felt really bad for someone. Like, where I was like, oh, man, this is, like, I don't know what it was, if that was, like, the first feeling of maybe like being a parent. Now I've been happy and we've done all that, but he was sitting there and he was like coughing and he was sneezing. I could just tell that he didn't feel great. And in my mind, I'm like, dude, if I could do anything in the world to help you out, I would. And like that had never been a thing for me.
Yeah.
Where I just felt this existential dread, like, all day, like, man, he feels bad. Like, I'll do anything in the world if I can for it. Like, it was such a weird feeling because I'm not usually like that.
But it is. I think that's a parenting thing. I mean, if I'm the feeling I had when I first saw my kids get sick or have like a bunch of shots and they're crying, it's just like, man, I wish I could just go through that because I would know that's not going to be the end of the world. It's just a temporary thing. I wish I could just take that from you and you could just go back to being the happy little baby. The little kid, right? Maybe that's the feeling a little bit. And then good news, you get it anyway. So
yeah, correct.
You get to feel it. But yeah, I never understood parents who, you know, their kid is like, well, this is the mother of the man who's accused of murdering seven people and, you know, the notorious mob hitman who's now in jail and wanted in seven states. And they talk to the mom and they're like, well, it's still my little baby boy. And I hope everything. And it's like, I never got that at first.
Yeah.
I do get it more now. This is not me. Please don't keep this on record that I'm saying if my kids murdered someone, I would hide the murder weapon. I would never do that, Viv.
Right.
No, it's Ava for sure. The middle one, trouble. The middle one, dude, by the way, last thing, and then we'll get, I know nobody cares. We'll get into the soccer stuff. You were talking about being like, oh, I'm just kind of, I see something happen. I go, oh, that sucks for you, but then you move on with your day. Viv, my oldest, is the empath who will like, tell me a story from school that almost has her in tears. I'm getting frustrated. Like, it's like, oh my gosh. And then I'm like, so you were there for all this? She's like, oh no, no, no. Someone told me about this. I'm like, do you know any of these kids? She's like, oh no.
No.
I just know kids who know those kids. I'm like, did this happen? She's like, no, it happened on another building on the school campus. I'm like, good Lord. And it's just, it's teenage kid drama, but it's like, that's her. Ava could probably see a person choking to death and would be like,
not
someone, someone should probably call a doctor or something, I guess, right? And just like, anyway, back to what I was doing. They could not be more different in that way. And they're almost identical looking in every other, like, you would you would know immediately these kids are sisters. If you interviewed them about something, you'd be like, they did not even grow up in the same country, let alone the same household. So that's just, it's just wild to me how different people can be under our own roof even. So, yeah. Anyway. The third one, that's the true wild card. She's only three.
Don't know yet.
She's a firecracker.
Sure, you got your hands full on that one, too.
We do. Yeah. We do. All right, let's talk about firecracker right now of a team. That is the Columbus Crew.
Yep.
So they've taken three of the four since the break. So that's good for 12 points out of a pot. Or, yeah, no.
Nine
out of a possible 12. Sorry, I gave them an extra point per game, four instead of three.
We'll take it. I mean, if you're giving it to us, we'll take it.
9 points out of a possible 12. That Houston loss, like we talked about, was, I don't think, something we could really look at and say that's definite, that's real. It was Houston's weird. Let's chalk Houston up to being
midweek,
weird.
Midweek, 100 degrees. You just come off of an emotional win, and you're going into an emotional game coming up the following match.
Yeah. I think that and we said last week, the Montreal game's going to tell a lot about where this team is mentally. After the first couple games, you come back, you haven't played in a while, you probably just feel really good, and now you're in a grind. You just went through a rough midweek game. How you respond on the road in that emotional situation and what happens. Crew go into Stade Saputo.
Yeah.
And let's be clear, there were some refereeing decisions that went in the Crew's favor. I'm not going to deny that. Crew definitely had the better of the play. They looked like the better team. They were, I mean, they were ready to go in that first half. So that tells me a few things. That tells me they are able to bounce back from bad situations, which you need when you're going to be in this time of year. It tells me that they are grasping what their job is and they're figuring out the style of play that Wilfried Nancy wants. And they have the manager's back. Like, I don't think there's any, for me, there's no doubt that they went in there with a little extra something to prove.
Oh, 100%.
Knowing that that's Nancy's return to Montreal and all
that. Either
that
or they were coming off of the Wednesday performance saying, boy, that was embarrassing. Or it could be both.
Sure, could be both. But I think overall, this was a nice thing to see for the Crew. You had a hat trick from Cucho Hernandez, which made him the player of the match day, which is such a stupid term. But I know why MLS does it, because there's a match day midweek. There's a match day, you know, match days are not just the week.
Sure.
There could be three match days in a week, but whatever. Still, that's first time I think he's done that. First career hat trick for him, if I'm not mistaken. You couple that with an own goal from Montreal, and that's your four goals you got.
Yeah, you let up two goals, but it's not really... There was never a feeling in the match where you're like, oh, they're going to give this away, you know?
No, like, when they gave up the first goal and then Montreal was pushing a little bit, I'm like, guys? And then they responded, and yeah. And obviously, you know, the refereeing, you could argue on that, was it offside, was it not offside? Hard to say. I'm going to say glad that it worked out in our favor.
Yep.
I've seen people arguing both ways. And then,
hey, what have we said at the beginning of every MLS season and then at the end of it? Usually sometimes you get the calls, sometimes you don't get the calls.
Balances out.
It balances out through a course of a 34-match regular season.
Yeah, if anything, we're still owed for that horrible one we had with the referee from Ukraine, whose name is escaping me.
Yep.
Vitaly something or other. That, like, one of the worst refereeing, the one that got Nancy thrown out and another assistant got thrown out, like, that we were owed for that. So if you want to say, oh, that's an unfair, well, fine. We made up for it.
Montreal, right? Will be owed something from this game,
yeah,
later,
sure,
on. So it'll
Who
be
knows?
Fine.
Who knows? All I know is this. The Crew are still in a good spot for the playoffs. Yep. And now they get a little time to heal up, get healthy, get some rest. I do not like the fact that when you're 3 out of 4 and you're playing really well, now you have to take a little bit of a break. But hopefully when they come back from the break, they can, like they did when they had a little time off in August, they can come right back, not miss a beat, and be playing at a high level. This is the time. These are high leverage situations the rest of the way out.
They'll be thick and fast, too, when you get back. So they're off this week. Like you mentioned, got a little R&R going on. And then you're at Orlando next Saturday, which Orlando's ahead of you on the table right now. You are home against Chicago in the midweek that following Wednesday, and then you are back on the road against Dallas on September 23rd.
Yeah.
So, like, you've got 3 matches in a week span after this little 2-week break that you're on.
Yeah. So the Crew, for what it's worth, are 2 points out of second, though they sit in fifth. New England and Orlando both have 47 points. Mm-hmm. Philly has 46. The Crew have 45. Atlanta right behind the Crew with 42. Nashville at 40. Montreal, who you just beat, 35. So, I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's imperative that you don't let off the gas here. And that Orlando City game does loom large. And that's on the road, and it's going to be hot, and that's going to be, you know, not an easy game to play because Orlando is a very good team. So that's one where if you come out of that with a point, I'll take it. If somehow you swipe three,
we'll great. Even take that more.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But it's more about at this point not dropping any points that you can and not really letting anybody get away from you, because there is still a very good chance you end up second. Obviously, Cincinnati's already locked up a playoff spot. They are likely to lock up the Supporters Shield, you know, probably in the next few weeks. So this is very close to being done for that race, but that doesn't mean second on isn't worth playing for. And top 2 seed in the East would be a very good thing if the Crew can attain that. Not
then
easy,
then
but
you get through on the bye, right?
I believe so. I think top 4 guarantees you. You guaranteed a home game at least in the playoffs.
Well, I think
mistaken.
You're all guaranteed a home game because you're playing these new stupid best 2 out of 3 series.
That's right. I forgot all about that. Maybe it's that. Yeah, that's right. You're right.
So it's all stupid.
It is stupid.
We're a couple, like, 2 months away from the playoff starting, and I have no clue.
I know. No, you nailed it. You're right. You're right on that. And I just, this is my weekly reminder for those who are wondering, if the Crew were in the Western Conference, they'd be in second.
Mm-hmm.
47 points is what St. Louis is on. Seattle's 41. LAFC 40. RSL 40. Houston 39. Your Vancouver Whitecaps having a nice year there, Beamer.
My
38
guys.
Points. And then it's Minnesota, San Jose, both on 36 as well. So.
Qualification. Seeds 1 through 7 in each conference will automatically qualify for round 1 best of 3 series. 8 and 9 in each conference will qualify for the wild card matches.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Right.
So
I think so. That's what it is that.
Yep.
You are, if you get top 4, then I believe you're not guaranteed 2 games at home, but you're guaranteed that if you need them, you will have 2 of the home games.
Yes.
Right? So that's what I think I was, something what I said made sense. All right. So top 4 is the goal.
Let's
at the very
get
least.
Drunk. That was, it's very hard to comprehend.
It's top 4 is what we want to see right now.
Yep.
So good stuff from the Crew there, and hopefully we'll continue to see some improvement in play. And I still think Diego Rossi figuring out where he fits on this team, that's a large piece of the puzzle that is not yet set in.
I think this is kind of nice. It's nice and not nice at the same time just because of the way that their form is. But him having more practice time without games of meaning and consequence over these next 2 weeks, I think it's huge for him.
Oh, yeah. I think now especially, and not that he wasn't familiar with the league. He obviously was very good when he was with LAFC. But coming back into the league probably took him a couple weeks to just go, oh, yeah, that's right. This is the stuff that flies. This is the stuff that doesn't. These are the guys. Now he'll have time to process all that and process what Wilfried Nancy and the rest of the team are trying to do there and how he fits into that. So, yeah, it's going to be and for all the other guys, too, to practice with him and get some of that timing down and figure out what he likes to do and what he doesn't like to do, where he's going to be looking for the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was interesting because I saw Cucho dropping back into the final third sometimes against Montreal to get the ball. Like, I know that players are more and more willing to kind of be free with that and go where they need to, but I still think it matters that you know where your guys typically want to get the ball and where they're in good spots, where to look for them. And that timing you can see is there for a lot of the rest of the team. It's still, I think, a work in progress with Diego Rossi and the rest of the guys on the roster. So that's a big deal. And one last thing before we go, we should mention that a fond farewell goes to a guy who had some great moments for the Crew and obviously was one of the guys that, if I'm not mistaken, he was part of that MLS championship winning side in 2020. Luis Diaz was released by the team, so we wish him well. I don't know what your thoughts are on him. He was a guy to me that was always right just on the brink of if he could develop that final
touch. If he
could
do this.
Yeah, because he was a burner, man, and just had so much pace and was really good at beating someone in the midfield when he'd get the ball and getting past them.
If he could get the ball to someone after doing that.
Right. And I mean, I think it was he was just one of those guys that that last decision, it's not even final touch. It's just that last decision of when to go, when to pull back, when to chip it across to someone who's running on, when to fire it at the goalkeeper at a sharp angle. He didn't always mess that up. He seemed more often than not to be thinking a little too much about it. Not a bad thing, and I still think he's a promising MLS player, and I have a feeling that at some point he'll end up back on an MLS team. If he isn't already, he'll find his way to one, and we'll see him in a game, and he'll be really good.
Yeah.
But I don't blame the Crew for moving on and saying, look, we've just realized now that he doesn't really fit what we want to do.
Well, and that too, and I mean, it's, you know, you have to think it's different management, it's different team, it's an entirely different team than what he was used to playing with. So, fond farewell to him. Also of note, how about our guy Neil Sika back on the broadcast?
Yeah, Neil Sika did a great job. It was great to hear him, and meant to bring that up too, because that was really cool to see, and it was cool to see all the, you know, Crew fans who were talking about that. But yeah, Neil was did a great job on that, and he's a good buddy, and we love seeing Neil. He's around the station a lot. He does a lot of, you know, updates for us and things like that.
Be hearing more Neil on MLS games.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt in my mind of that. And it was such a welcome thing to hear him on a Crew game, of course. He had done a Portland game, I want to say, earlier in the season, too. But just hearing him on soccer games again, he has such a good cadence. He does a great delivery. And I know some people who do soccer have this tendency to just want to describe every single thing that's happening at all times. Neil has always had a really good pace of, this is important, you need to know what's happening here, I need to describe that. This next thing that's happening, I don't need to just necessarily, you know, it's not passes back to so-and-so, now over to the middle, now over to the wing, now back to, like.
Yeah, Chris does a great job because he does radio.
And you have to do that on radio, that's a little different.
Yeah.
But, and Neil did radio for many years, but on TV, he understands that, like, if you know the team, especially the Crew are going to be passing it back to set up what they're doing.
Yeah.
They're drawing you out. They're trying to do this type of thing. They're going to play from the back dangerously at times. He knows when to talk about that and when to just acknowledge, yeah, they're just setting up. This is just them, you know, for lack of a better term, this is just them getting reset.
Yeah.
And I don't need to describe that all this is happening right now. And I've always thought that was just something underrated about guys like him who just know that speed and know how MLS works and are able to. He's very good about weaving in a story, and then the action is happening, and he's back to the action, and then back to the – yeah, it's very good. So, Neil, we're glad you're back on MLS Broadcast. Hope to see more of you on Apple TV.
Hope to see more of your sweet polos, too, and your outfits.
He is something, man. He is strikingly handsome when it comes to
dashing,
all that.
Dashing, I believe.
Yeah, our guy. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit of European soccer. We'll talk about the – well, we'll talk world soccer. We'll talk English Premier League, all that coming up next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. You can follow us on Twitter at Bone Beam United. Of course, you can let us know what you think of the show. You can leave us a review wherever you get your podcast. Just, maybe on, especially if it's on the Apple Podcast platform, you can let us know what you think. We appreciate the 5-star reviews if you feel like doing that. If not, go to hell. No, I'm just kidding.
But seriously.
I mean, just let us know. Tweet us if you don't like the show. We'll try to fix it. So then you can leave a good review. By the way, this weekend, I don't know what everybody has planned. I know, obviously, Ohio State football for some of you. Not neighbor Eric, but for a lot of people, that's going to be a big deal. In either case, this weekend, I will not be attending that, and I will not be paying much attention to it.
Must
I'm
be nice.
Going,
I've got a post-game show.
I know you do, buddy. I'm sorry. Okay. But at least it's an early one. At least it's a nooner, so you can get out of here, hopefully by 7 p.m. or
5:30.
Okay, well, that'll be good.
Yeah,
I'm going to Ohio is for Lovers
nice.
Down in Cincinnati, which
down at Riverbend.
Yeah, I believe so. Hawthorne Heights puts this on. They've developed this music festival idea. They do them in like they have California's for Lovers, Tennessee is for Lovers, all these different places they do it. But the one in Ohio is obviously to me like the main one because it's Ohio. That's the song. But Hawthorne Heights, the headliners of this one.
Jimmy Eat World, right?
Jimmy Eat World and Alkaline Trio. And I've never seen either one, and I am stoked to check them out.
Are you more of the middle or a sweetness guy for Jimmy Eat World?
I'm probably more of a sweetness guy.
Same.
Yeah, that's probably
if
more
you
my...
Understand?
Yeah,
whoa.
Yeah, that's more where I am.
It's great.
But that's they're, great. Like, yeah... they're awesome. Yeah. Like I'm so looking forward to seeing them. They're one of those bands that very rarely do I have a band that has lasted as long, like through high, like when I listened to them in high school and early, you know, out of high school time, a lot of those bands that I like either are broken up or they were never big enough that they would do like big time
sure.
concert shows. I mean,
yeah.
I guess Tool is one of those bands that I liked back
yeah,
then.
Yeah, but Tool is different than what these bands
well,
are.
Of course. I just mean like, Tool, if they were touring, they're doing a big stadium thing, right? Most of the bands that I like from that era, it's like, oh, hey, they're playing at a like, bar with a few hundred people or maybe like the Newport, you uh-huh. know, but they're not playing like a bigger venue like this. So to have this
like
festival.
Like a Bluestone.
Yeah, Bluestone. Well, it was. Sunny Day Real Estate, which is not quite the same thing, but Sunny Day Real Estate just came through the Bluestone. I didn't get to go.
Did I tell you how upset that I was?
Wanting to, but I didn't.
So Meredith and I have been together for, you know, a long time now. And when we were freshmen in high school, you know, she was in her like emo stage and everything, and she was listening to Motion City soundtrack. And if you're a kid listening now, you used to have a thing called an iPod,
right.
And you would plug in a headset to an iPod, and they would have two wired headphones.
Mm-hmm.
So Meredith and I were sitting next to each other in this like computer class.
Oh, and you would share the
and
headset.
And we would share the headset.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And this is when we were like freshmen in high school. Which probably wasn't a good idea to be listening to some of their music. But anyways, so like we always kind of liked them together and, you know, liked Motion City soundtrack. And we got married at the Bluestone 5 years ago. I kick myself every day of life. Motion City soundtrack played at the Bluestone last year. And it came and went off the calendar before I even realized it.
And so
we did not get to go.
What makes that story even more heartbreaking is the fact that your wedding occurred at the Bluestone.
Yeah, that's
so.
What I, yeah,
the band that you listened to as freshmen, you ended up getting married, and they played the venue that you got married in, and you didn't go.
It's a great regret. So I'm happy that you're going down there and doing this weekend.
Yeah, it's funny. I have two of these on the.
We got Fire Fest coming up.
Furnace Fest.
Yeah.
Close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Same
down
thing.
It's down in Alabama, and it's at a like an old blast furnace for a steel mill or something. But
certainly won't be 2,000 degrees down there.
No, it's going to be, burning hot. That one I'm going to see MXPX, which is punk band that I've liked since I was a kid.
I would consider these two on the different realms of kind of alternative rock,
they're
these
like,
festivals.
Yeah, well, not totally. Well, that's the thing, though.
Adjacent.
Yeah, MXPX is like pop punk. And then at that same festival is a bunch of hardcore bands. So MXPX would be the lighter side of that. And then there's bands like Throwdown, Hatebreed, like all Norma Jean, all these heavier bands are going to be there. And then
Bonesaw.
Yeah, and then pop punk bands like Reliant K and MXPX are going to be at that.
Reliant K at Ohio's
they're at Furnace. They're going to be at Furnace Fest, and I believe at this Furnace. I think they're at the Ohio is for Lovers. I know Emery is, which is my wife's favorite bands are Emery and Reliant K, and I know one or both of them is at both of those shows. I think Reliant K is at both, and I think it would make sense.
Yeah, they are.
They're from Ohio, so they should be there. I mean, they're
Red
right
Jumpsuit Apparatus.
Dude,
wow.
It's
going to
be. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Holy
yeah.
smokes.
Seosin, I think, is going to be there. Spitalfield. Like,
yeah.
it's going to be a deal, man. And Hawthorne Heights, clearly, which is, like, that'll be awesome. So
Kenny Hoopla, he's got some good stuff.
Yeah, man. I'm telling you, I'm excited for this lineup. So I'll be coming back next week with all these bands that I'm going to bore you with and say, you got to go see this band live. And you'll be like, yeah, I know, dude.
Yeah.
I'm
Remember all
there.
The times 5 years ago I asked you to do something? You said, no, I'm busy. I have a kid. well, that's my life now.
Yeah, now you get it.
Yeah.
Now you get it.
You get the show.
We are leaving our kids at home and just saying, good luck. No, we're not.
I tell you what I do. I just let Theo watch him.
Your dog.
Yeah.
Theo the dog.
Yeah, he's the most responsible person.
Neighbor
in our
Eric,
house.
Good friend of yours, you're like, nah, I wouldn't trust him with a kid.
Nah.
Dog Theo, yes.
Neighbor Eric also, he's going to Europe here this week. and is, I think, going to see a Fulham Crystal Palace game. He's like, yeah, I don't think it's a Premier League game. And I'm like, yeah, it is, buddy. Like, you were the one who bought the tickets. But it's funny because he asked me to do stuff. He's like, hey, you want to come over for the crew match? Like, they've got this nice outdoor patio that they built, like, as an attachment on their house. And it's beautiful. Like, it's inside. They can throw the air conditioning on. They can keep the windows open, whatever. And the other night he was like, hey, do you want to go to the crew game? I've got an extra ticket. And I was like, no, I have a child here. Thank you very much. And he goes, I keep forgetting that you have a kid. Like, what are you talking about, man?
Like, do you notice that you don't see me as often?
Are you a real person?
I know. He's something else. What a good dude, though. All right, so the Ballon d'Or nominees are out for FIFA World Player of the Year. So I don't know how you want to attack this.
It's a two-horse race, I think.
Sure, that's right. Yeah. It is Lionel Messi and Erling Haaland are the lead nominees on this. I find it difficult to believe that Lionel Messi would not win this one more time.
Yeah.
Given that, because it's not just taking into account your club career. It is taking into your club seasons. It is also taking into account your, you know, international duties and the fact that he led a team in Argentina to the World Cup in this last year.
And Erling Haaland was not at the World Cup.
And Erling Haaland wasn't even there. Right. I mean, he had perhaps the most brilliant season we've seen from a striker ever in the Premier League. That's a reasonable thing to say with Erling
Haaland.
Treble
winners.
Yeah.
Setting many different records.
I'm just saying individually, like just by himself, he's just incredible. And then you take into account what the team around him did. But it would be hard for me to see Messi not getting it. The only way I could see maybe that happening is if they're counting, like, if for some reason they ding him because now he's playing in MLS and they're
Messi is going to get it 100%.
Okay. That's like, what I
thought. I'm just saying, I think there's more of an argument. You and I can have a better argument about this. Like, if we're talking about who would you rather want on your team, like, now and think is the best player on planet Earth, and, like, you look in the last calendar year, who had a better season? I mean, look at what Manchester City had done, you know, in the years past. Like, they were winning Premier Leagues. They were winning Cups. But the Champions League had always eluded them.
Yeah.
And now you bring in a guy who sets a new record for Premier League goals in a season. You win the FA Cup. You win the Champions League for X amount of time in a row. And, oh, yeah, what'd you do? You tied Manchester United as the only other British team to win a treble by winning the Champions League.
Mm-hmm.
And you were setting goal-scoring records left and right. You won the PFA Young Player of the Year. You won, I think, Premier League Player of the Year. Like, you've done all of that. So the award circuit sets up perfect for him. It's just, how many more times, zero, are we going to see this from Messi?
Not.
And he will win his eighth Ballon d'Or.
Like, yeah,
that's,
yeah.
It is what it is.
It is. It would be his eighth, as you said. Second most is, of course, Cristiano Ronaldo with 5, which notably, Cristiano Ronaldo not on the list of finalists for the first, and I found this number stunning.
30 finalists, right?
30 finalists. Yeah. He didn't make the top 30, which deserved. He was not good with Manchester United. He was not good at, I mean, I don't know what he's doing now because no one's watching that Saudi league, but whatever he's doing there, I'm sure it's not worthy of this. All I know is it's the first time he's not made the finalist list since 2003. 20 years.
Damn.
That he's been on the list of finalists for the Ballon d'Or.
And usually he's been in the top 5.
Like, of course, yeah. I mean, he's won it 5 times. He's if he didn't win it, there's lots of years where he finished second or third.
Yeah, because Messi did. Or Modric. And, like, the one over, the last 15 years. It's like, oh, this guy won, this guy won, this guy won. Oh, Luka Modric, like, smack dab right between Messi and Ronaldo.
By the way, Luka Modric.
Your guy.
My guy, on the list.
Of course he is.
He's 74 years old, and he's still on this list. Made the top 30 again. Good for him. He deserves it. Did you see, by the way, there was a rumor of Luka Modric possibly taking, well, the rumor was there's been a bid. I'm sure there's a bid for every top name player that's not currently in the Saudi league. A Saudi team had put in a bid for him, and apparently there was some rumor about that. He was asked about it, and he said, I have given that zero thought. My only thoughts are about how much I love playing for Real Madrid and how much I want to continue playing here. Yeah. And how much more success I want to have here. That's the only thing that occupies my, like, he just was full on, like, I don't need the money. I don't care how much money it is. I don't want to think about it. Mm-hmm. So next week when we have the episode where I say, welcome to whichever team in the Saudi league, Luka Modric, I can eat all these words, but my guy, Luka Modric, I'm just telling you, like, that's the right approach. And by the way, it's not like it's noble necessarily or altruistic that he's like, I'm not going to the Saudi league. I will stay here with Humble Real Madrid.
Yes. A team with 15 Champions League titles.
By the way,
how many trophies do you think he has?
Like, personally?
Yeah.
In his, like, house?
I'm saying, like, yeah, like, accolades.
Oh, professional accolades. Well, there's probably a way to know this. I do not know the answer, but it's got to be over a dozen, right?
Way more than that.
Champions
League, La Ligas.
Copa del Rey. Sorry. You're just saying how many teams was he on that won a chance, like some kind of trophy? Yeah, right. Because you could win. He could have won two or three a year for a good part of his career.
He is one-time FIFA Player of the Year 2018. Yep. One-time winner of the Ballon. The FIFA Player of the Year.
Things. Separate things, right.
One-time UEFA Best Player. Seven-time Croatian Player of the Year. Five-time Champions League winner. Five-time Club World Cup winner. Three-time Spanish champion. Four Super Cup winners. Two-time Spanish Cup winners. Four-time Spanish Super Cup winner. Three-time Croatian champion. Two-time Croatian Cup winner.
Good Lord. He's incredible.
I'm just looking through this as I show you my phone, like the list of all of that.
Perhaps the most impressive thing he ever did, as far as, you know, like total accomplishment, you get no trophy for. You get something for, right? You get a medal maybe. There's something where you're the runners up of the World Cup.
Yeah.
That may have been the most impressive thing he ever did, getting that Croatia team all the way to the final.
They almost did it again this past year.
Yeah. I've not done it. I need to buy, before I can't, I need to buy a Luka Modric jersey. Real Madrid's jerseys, fire.
Always good.
Always so good.
Always good.
I don't know why. I should have bought one last year where they had the like lavender, like very light purple.
Those were nice.
And I went to go look for one this summer and it was like, they're all out of it. This is the fat boy struggle that I find is that when I go, I'm like, that jersey's cool. And then I go online and instantly it's like, we're out of 3XL, 2XL. Do you want a small? We have a few of those. We have extra small. No, I can't do that.
You can buy a nice new Jude Bellingham jersey, too, while you're at it.
Yeah.
It's just, Luka Modric, Toni Kroos, their time's getting a bop. Sign the best player in Europe.
That's
He's
fine.
Be
just
there
go
for 15 years.
Go sign him. That's right. Also, Vinicius Jr. on the list as well. Will probably be, a top three or four guy.
Back in training, Vinny is. So
yeah, that's good. Good to see him healthy again. Let's talk about the Premier League for a bit. Had a weird thing happen this past week, something that hasn't happened, I believe, since 1995. It's only the second time in Premier League history it's happened. Heung-min Son from Tottenham, he had a hat trick against Burnley. Well done. Great
Ange
player.
Ball taking over.
That's right. Yeah.
They look awesome.
Former Celtic manager who's now taken over. They're doing a great job so far. Yes. So Tottenham, a little nice story there to start off the season. Then you had Evan Ferguson was that Brighton? That had the hat trick against Newcastle, let him live. And then Erling Haaland, ever heard of him, hat trick against Fulham. Least shocking of those three guys to get a hat trick.
Let's go back to what you just said again for Tottenham. It's a little nice story for them to start the season. That was the most condescending thing you've ever said on the show.
I know it was.
That's a cute little story
for
them.
Tottenham. I'm just saying there's so much time for them to shoot themselves in the foot or screw this up or have some discontent happen somewhere.
Oh, man.
Tottenham fans, am I wrong? You should feel good right now, but I'm not saying nothing's done. No hay is in a barn. We're in September, for God's sake. Like, you get to Boxing Day and we're talking about you being top four and making a push. Then great. Then we're doing stuff now. But let's just slowly ease back into this bath of Tottenham good ? I'm easing into that bath right now. It may not be fully ready.
That's a cute little story.
Either way, not a cute little story. First time since 1995, second time ever, the Premier League has seen three hat tricks in the same day. So
it's incredible.
Yeah, pretty nuts that happened. And Cucho Hernandez probably could have scored a hat trick in the Premier League if he wasn't doing it in MLS.
Did it on the same weekend.
He did it the same weekend. So there you go. Just saying, he's pretty much just like Erling Haaland, Cucho Hernandez.
How your boy the villain? How's the villains doing?
They got smoked by Newcastle in the opener.
Remember that one.
Played a little bit better since then. Won some games. Got to test themselves against Liverpool and not so much.
Got smoked.
Not great. So I've seen some Aston Villa fans who are like, well, you know, we learned some lessons after Newcastle. Maybe the boys can learn the same lessons again after this. And it's like, well, the lesson I learned was that when they play like a top four team, top five team, they're not up to the standard right now. Mm-hmm. Again, it's September. I'm not going to scream and yell about that as a brand new Aston Villa fan. I am hopeful that their push in Europe will go well and all these other things can happen for them, but it's a long season. Take the points where you can get them. You brought up a good stat when we were talking off the air about how Manchester United found themselves once again back in Champions League this year.
Well, yeah. So, I mean, you look at United last year, and remember, they qualified. They were top four qualifications against the top half of the table, not including themselves. They only drew one game on the road. The other eight games, they lost.
Yeah, they didn't win them. It's not like, they only drew one and then won eight.
They lost all eight games against, all but one.
Yeah.
Yes. They lost eight of their nine games against top 10 opponents last year, not including themselves, on the road. So what you have to do is just, I mean, basically beat the hell out of the teams that are on the bottom part of the table and make your home.
And take care of business at home.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. So we'll see if Aston Villa is up to it. It's long season. I've still yet to get out. I believe Olentangy
it is. Brewing. Olentangy River Brewing.
Yeah, yeah. That place is awesome. And I've been out there a few times. Yeah. And they also have Roosevelt Coffee, I think, still out there too, which is so clutch when they have a coffee shop and a brewery together for soccer broadcasts.
They have an awesome food truck too, Mordisco's.
I've not had it. I've seen it out
there.
It's
very good.
Yeah. I like their they call it like walk to High Banks or hike to High Banks or something like that. That beer is really good. I've gotten that a few times over there, gotten a six pack. I usually like to go over there to the brewery and get
it. They did. I don't know if they're doing it again for this year, but they made an English bitter that was just called the Villain, which was really good.
Yes, that's a good idea. I have not tried that, but I'll make sure to do it when I get out there.
Good folks over there.
Nice. I'm looking forward to going. How are things going with the new bar for you guys with the Manchester United fan?
Oh, it's been great. Yeah, we're down at City Tavern, so not far away from our old place down at Zaftig in the Italian Village. Been really cool. Been neat. Everything's been going well. Streaming options are good. That's what most of the games are on now. Sound is being pumped through. Good atmospheres. Play has not been great for Manchester United, nor has the off-field stuff been great for them.
No.
But as far as the actual atmosphere and everything, it's awesome. We're having a great time down there.
How are you feeling about Manchester United? Some of the
bad
transfer business. How's that been?
Bad.
For you? Yeah, not good.
Lowest,
not good.
Worst number since 2014. On that, it was like their worst day of public sale since they've been like traded on the New York Stock Exchange. I think in the history of them being on the open market, you have the entire Mason Greenwood situation, which was disgusting. And just until a few weeks ago, they didn't say anything about it. Erik ten Hag, I guess, was expecting him to be back in the lineup, and there was so much public pressure that they decided to get rid of him, which
Unreal.
Was the right decision.
Unreal that it took all that pressure for them to make the right call there. That's shocking to me.
It was disgusting. I actually pulled a Manchester Joe, and when I've been going to United games, I have not been wearing any of the stuff.
Really?
So, yeah, I've just
felt
been,
that disgusted with it.
Yeah, it was horrible. And now I'm going to continue to do so because the whole Antony news, like domestic assault happening with his girlfriend in Brazil. He's already been kicked off the Brazilian national team, and United are like, well, we don't know what's going on with this, and patently false. I'm like, man, you guys are an absolute mess.
They're
making it really hard to like this team.
Yeah, listen, I will say this about the, because in sports, we've dealt with this quite a bit doing this job where you have allegations against someone.
And that's tricky.
It can be tricky, right? Yeah. But here's what's not tricky for me. And here's what's not in dispute. No one has a right to be on a pro sports team.
Yeah.
Okay. You have a right as a human being, at least in the United States, and I would hope everywhere this is a human right, but you have the right not to be thrown in prison under false pretenses. If something is not true, or if it cannot be proven in a court of law, then you don't go to jail, hopefully. That's the idealistic way it should work. I'm not saying it does. It's the way it should work. You shouldn't go to jail for something you didn't do. You do not have the right to play soccer or baseball or any other sport if the prevailing thought around you is, right now, there's a suspicion that this person did something awful. Until we sort that out, this is a game. A game you're paid millions to play, and it's very important to a lot of people, but it's a game. It's a privilege. It's a fun activity we do to get away from real life. When real life is getting too heavy in that pro sports realm, it is okay to say, you know what, that guy's not playing for now till we sort this out. Mm-hmm. Or he's not going to play here, or we're going to take all the steps we need to distance ourselves from it. That's partially because of that game thing I said, but the other reason for it is because it's a business.
Yeah.
And don't ever make that mistake. If a guy, has three or four injuries and then comes back and his doctor's like, he's healthy, he's fine, this will never happen again, that doesn't stop teams from cutting the guy and saying, sorry, we just, even though you might be healthy and you may be fine and you're not going to be injured again. We can't take that risk. Mm-hmm. And they cut you. This could be a similar situation, yeah. could it not, where a player is accused of something? If they did it or not is maybe hard to know for sure. Brazil seems pretty confident in yeah. what their decision was, though, and good for the Brazil national team for having no qualms about that. That's the way it should be. And I think that once the legal situation works itself out, if someone is falsely accused, that is a shame, right? It's a shame that happens. Players are, it's a privileged thing to be a part of this. Mm-hmm. So I'm not denying that false allegations can happen, but sometimes we treat this stuff, and fans are guilty of it too, I think sometimes because it's self-serving. You know, you want your best player on the field.
Sure.
So you want to, well, but they don't have video of it, or,
yeah,
yeah, did right. you see this thing on that person's Facebook page? They may not be trustworthy. Mm-hmm. Is that what you'd really think if that was someone you knew?
Yeah.
Or is that something you're doing because you really want this good player to be back in good graces and be able to play? I think we always have to check that. And good for you for not checking, you know, like just instantly saying, hey, if that's the accusation, I don't want any part of it. I'm mm-hmm. That's the way I typically am, too. And it just, I don't think that's wrong.
That and the fact that they got Fergie tied by Arsenal last week.
Well, that was also not
yeah,
good.
No.
Also not good.
They brought in Harry Maguire and Johnny Evans. They're like, oh, wonder if we can stop Arsenal from scoring. No, you
now,
can't. Now, and Jadon Sancho is apparently mad at Erik ten Hag, and there's something going on with it.
I saw that whole thing, man. It is a mess right now.
It's a mess.
Remember when Erik ten Hag was going to fix everything, and it's all better, and everything's great, and now you're back to woe is us, woe is Arsenal. By the way, just to tick off Tottenham fans one more time, Arsenal, huge story. Perhaps the biggest story we've ever had in the Premier League. I'm just kidding, Tottenham fans.
Arsenal,
I don't know.
Real title contenders.
Real title
Tottenham,
well, they
plucky,
should be. They
run.
Were actually contending for it last year until like a month from the season. Yeah, they were the only one that put any pressure on Manchester City. Other than them, there's nothing. No resistance. So, yeah, Tottenham, good early results.
Cool underdog story. By the way, United 1 point. Actually, same points amount of Villa, lower on the table because of goal differential. So.
Oh, see? That's right. Mm-hmm. Didn't even think of that. Well, we're going to have to duke it out.
At some point.
Or not. Or we'll just let it happen. Just see what goes.
Just see if the villains get relegated. As history would prove.
I know. I'm really worried about it because my guy Michael up in Toronto sent me the jersey, got me to be the Villa fan this year. I don't want him to be let down. So let's hope.
Well, I think you're pretty safe that Everton, Luton, and Burnley are probably on their way to getting relegated.
Poor Everton.
If they don't, if Jordan Pickford doesn't make that save.
Dude. One of the most amazing saves I've
incredible.
Ever seen in my life. And I keep forgetting that he's still there. And then he pops up in a highlight, and you're like, oh, hey, Jordan Pickford is still
in
Everton.
And he gave up, in the same game, gave up an own goal because the ball ricocheted off the crossbar
yeah.
after he was diving, and it bonked him in the head and went into the goal. And then to stand on your head like that in the 95th minute, wow.
Yeah, he's incredible at times. At times, he's incredible. But, yeah, Everton, not. That is bad. All right, that's it for us. We'll have more next week. Thanks for listening. We'll see you soon. It's Bone and Beam United.